Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Giving Credit Where Credit is Due.
Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Let us listen to God's word for us. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate called Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking and praising God recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, and why do you stare at us as though by your own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
We're going to pick up and carry on with that same part of the story. Now reading from Acts chapter 4. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is resurrection from the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, and it has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we may be saved." And this is the good news. And let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of the day, for the privilege of worship. And pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight, for it is you and you alone we desire to please. You, the rock and giver of our salvation. Amen. Leaving worship one Sunday morning, a woman shook the minister's hand and said, "Oh, Pastor, thank you. That sermon was absolutely wonderful." The pastor humbly said, "Well, don't thank me, thank God." And as the woman walked away, she mumbled, "Well, it wasn't that good." Our scripture lesson this morning from the book of Acts raises the question, who gets credit for what? One afternoon, Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, were going up to the temple to pray when they encountered a man who had been lame from birth. Just as many of us have our particular pews reserved on Sunday mornings, and by the way, your pew is still waiting for you, this man had his place reserved by the gate called Beautiful, and there he would be day after day asking alms of those who were coming into the temple for worship. And it is significant, and a part of the story that would be easy for us to miss, that the pathway to worship, the pathway to prayer, goes straight through and not around human suffering, then and now. So no doubt this poor beggar was delighted when his cries got the attention of Peter and John, but what he received from them was far greater than that which he had asked. Like any person begging on the street, he was hoping for pocket change. But instead, Peter said to him, "I have not silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And then taking the man by the hand, they raised him up to his feet, and immediately his ankles became strong. He began to jump up and down, surely making a spectacle of himself, and who could blame him? For this man had been lame since birth. He gladly went into the temple with them, walking, leaping, dancing, just as Val and Leah just sang to us, praising God. What he wanted was alms, and what he got was healing and a new life. We too, I know, are approached on a regular basis for our alms and gifts and financial support, sometimes formally through letters in the mail, sometimes informally by individuals standing on street corners with hand-painted signs. All of us, I know, wrestle with how best we should respond to those who ask help from us. We know we have been blessed by God, and that in order to be a blessing to others, which means we can't rightly separate our worship, our prayer, from our response to the physical needs around us. However, our lesson this morning also reminds us that these are opportunities in which we can give them more than they ask for. For we, like Peter and John, have something of infinitely more value to offer them than mere silver and gold. As the church, individually and then us collectively, must ever resist limiting our ministry to simply giving either our empathy or our charity, for we have the power and the authority to offer healing and wholeness and reconciliation and salvation in the name of the risen Christ. This being the same power, the same authority that was given to disciples long ago. As one might expect, then and now, the response of those who witnessed this miraculous event was varied. I find it interesting that whenever the gospel is proclaimed, people respond to it in different ways. It promotes healing and wholeness in some, astonishment and curiosity in others, anger and resentment in still others, particularly those who hold positions of power, who have vested interest in the powers of this world, who are threatened by the demonstrated powers of a living God. And so in our story, Peter and John were arrested this day by these same authorities, which ironically gave them an even greater opportunity to witness to the saving power of Jesus. There's nothing like a good miracle to attract a crowd, right? Again, there's a message for us here. As we are involved in mission and ministry in this community and beyond, we must be ready and willing to offer resources To speak a word of faith, however, with those resources, to point beyond ourselves, to bear witness to the one who calls us into ministry and service. That is, we who have gold and silver must also offer the treasure that will never rust, that will never rot, that will never pass away, that being Jesus himself. So in this way, Peter stood before this crowd and said, "Why do you wonder at this, and why do you stare at us as though it was by our power or piety that we made him walk?" Peter explained that it was not them who had healed the lame man. It was the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Peter knew exactly what he was doing in that moment and lost no opportunity in sharing the gospel message. "But this Jesus, whom you crucified," he said, "God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and it is by faith in this Jesus that this man is restored to perfect health in your presence." Peter went on to assure this gathered crowd that any wrongdoing they had committed in ignorance, namely the condemning and the crucifying of an innocent man, could be set right by receiving the Savior they had rejected. He instructed them to repent of their sins and to receive him by faith, saying, "This Jesus, this stone that you, the builders, have rejected, has been now the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, and there is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name given to mortals by which we may be saved." And that day, 5,000 people came to receive and believe that which they heard and saw. Which means that when our words are supported by our actions, when our witness is consistent with the way we live our lives in ministry and service, people will respond. This is the power of the gospel to heal and to save still today. Now, every aspect of this story is fascinating to me, but there is one aspect of it particularly intrigues me, and so I'll share a story with you that will lead us into that. After an outstanding college basketball career at the University of Oklahoma, Stacey King was selected 6th overall in the 1989 NBA draft. He was picked up by the Chicago Bulls. He played for about a decade, never achieved the elite status that some expected of him, so there wasn't a great deal of attention when he retired. However, one reporter asked him this question: "Stacy, what would you say was the most memorable moment during your NBA career?" King smiled and said, "That's easy. That would be the night that Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points. Impressive. The reporters, though, did a little fact-checking, and it turned out that that night, Jordan had scored 69 points, and Stacey King hit one free throw. I love that story, and it helps to frame the question I posed earlier. It's important that we give credit where credit is due. So who really performed this miracle of healing? Was it God, or was it Peter and John? The answer we give greatly impacts how we do our ministry today. If we say it was God who healed this man, that would be absolutely true. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now worked to allow this man to stand and walk. But isn't it also true to say that Peter and John healed the man? I mean, they were the ones who responded to his cry. They were the ones who looked him in the eye, who took him by the hand, who named the name of Jesus over him, who commanded him to stand up and walk. Even if we were to say that it is God who had healed him, we can't deny the essential part that Peter and John played in the working out of this miracle. Without them and their willingness to act in faith, there would have been no healing that day by the gate called Beautiful. So who did the healing? God or the disciples? Well, I'm sure you can always already see that I'm leaning into saying this is not an either or question. It's a both and. And we must keep that both and answer in mind as we consider and carry out our ministries today. You see, the life of faith is entering into the adventure of a partnership with God. It means seeing the world with all of its sin and brokenness and complexity with new eyes and a new heart, that being through the eyes of Jesus, with the heart of Jesus. It means doing for God's sake those things we formerly would have only done for our own sakes, or doing for God's sake those things we never would have considered doing at all. Walking with God means walking in faith, trusting God to use us in ways that are at times beyond our imaginings or our capabilities or our comprehensions. It means doing what we can, all that we can, and then letting go, letting God, trusting God to work in ways beyond our vision, out of our control. Simply put, the life of faith is a life of partnership with God, even when it means that God scores the 69 and we only the one. That there are some things that only God can do, and on those we are utterly dependent. But that there are also things that only we can do on which God is utterly dependent on us as well. This is the balance of the life of faith, the partnership between the human and the divine. Story is told of the woman who decided to plant a garden. She painstakingly mowed all the weeds, dug up all the rocks, picked up all the trash that had collected on her little plot of ground. She spent hours hoeing and breaking the soil before carefully planting little seeds. She labored for weeks, watering, weeding, fertilizing, and soon the little garden produced beautiful flowers and abundant vegetables. Well, one day her pastor happened to stop by for a visit, admired that little garden, and said, "Isn't it wonderful what God can do with a little piece of land?" "Yes, it is," said the woman. "But you should have seen it when God had it all to himself." I mean, what is true in agriculture is true in our spiritual lives as well, isn't it? It is important that we give credit where credit is due, that faith is always a gift of God, but it is a gift which is given through the work and the witness of others, people like you and me. Without question, it was the power of God which healed this man in our story. But it could not have been done without the willingness of Peter and John or someone like them to step out in faith, to name the name of Jesus. This story once again demonstrates to us that our faith is a verb. It's not a noun. It's an action we take as we step out in dependence on God into this adventure in a partnership with God. It's an invitation to us both to work and to pray, and to pray and to work. And by faith, we discover that prayer is our work, and our work is our prayer. And it's admittedly so easy to get the balance of the human and the divine out of whack. I mean, the pendulum swings easily from the extreme of false pride that says, "I did it all," to the other extreme of false humility, which says, "I did nothing." Well, in most things, if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that neither extreme is wholly true. There's a balance between what only God can do and that which only we can do. So faith calls us to live in that balance of work and prayer, recognizing the value of each. I'll close with this story. During World War I, in a little French village, a beautiful marble statue of Jesus stood outside a chapel, arms outstretched in the courtyard of that little church. One day during a bombing raid, a shell landed nearby, shattered the statue. The villagers, of course, were heartbroken. They loved the statue of Jesus and made up their minds that they would try and put it back together again. So piece by piece, they collected the fragments and they reconstructed the whole figure except for the hands. They couldn't find the hands of Jesus. "We need a new one," said one of the villagers. "What good is a Jesus without any hands?" Someone else had a better idea. And now, as that statue stands, there is a brass plaque at its base which reads, "I have no hands but your hands," which then inspired the more famous poem, "I have no hands but your hands to do my work today. I have no feet but your feet to lead others in my way. I have no tongue but your tongue to tell them how I died. I have no help but your help to bring them to God's side." Friends, we've been invited to an adventure, into a partnership with the living God. And that adventure is called faith. And what an adventure it is. In it, we discover that there are some things that only God can do, and in these, we are totally dependent. But there are other things that only we can do. And in those, God is equally dependent upon us. So we are called to both work and to pray. And in this way, we give credit where credit is due. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, give us faith this day. Perhaps to even start this journey of this adventure with you in faith. But as we walk, help us to see that there are things that only you can do, and so help us to be trusting of you in those. So go before us and help us to follow. But Lord, help us also to understand that there are certain things that only we can do, that you will empower us to do, and do them we must. And so even this day, inform us, instruct us, inspire us, empower us to do the work we're given to do. And to you be all the honor and glory. For we pray it through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.